For us this morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. We've been going through the study of the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we saw Christ say, "Come unto me, all you're thirsty, and I'll give you living water." And we found out in chapter 7, verse 39, that Christ was actually speaking of the Holy Spirit. While Christ was on earth, the Holy Spirit was on him, but it wasn't on anybody else. And he promised his disciples that he would give them the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about welcome to the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? And first of all, he's a comforter. Amen. He's a counselor. Okay? And he works for us. And Christ made his promise to the disciples when he was on the last night on earth with them. He said, "I'm going to send a comforter." He says, "I'm going to go away and I'm going to send a comforter. He's going to teach you all things." But you know something? You can't talk about the Holy Spirit unless you talk about Pentecost. Because that's when the Holy Spirit was given. So this morning, the title of my sermon is Recapturing Pentecost. Recapturing Pentecost. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. But before we read God's Word, let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you that you're always with us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you help us today, Lord, to learn more about him. Lord, help us, Lord, to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to it. Help us, Lord, to do what he guides us to do. Lord, I pray that you take away all distractions, Father, and help the truth of your word change us, that we leave here more like you. Father, someone here does not know you as Savior, does not know that they have an eternity in heaven. Lord, I pray that this is the day of their salvation, that this is the day that they realize that they need you. Lord, help us today as we study your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42, it says, "Now when they heard this," okay, so there's a crowd of people, and they heard Peter's preaching, okay, "they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Folks, God's going to ask you to do something today. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to listen to him? "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." You know, that was the message of John the Baptist. That was the message of Jesus. It's now the message of the disciples. That God's message doesn't change. Save yourself from this world system that we're in. Save yourself and come to Christ. Verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day that there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." As I said before, any study of the Holy Spirit has to include the study of Pentecost. Pentecost is the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit. This was the fulfillment of God's promise. In God, we have all these great and precious promises in Christ. And all of the promises of God are yea. They will come true. So this is the day that the disciples have been waiting for. This is the day that Christ had talked about. Now he's ascended and in heaven. And so this is the birthday of the church. This is the birthday of the church. It's the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because you just have Jesus Christ in the title of it doesn't mean you're his church. And the issue is that this is the start of the church. It says it was added unto them 3,000 souls. It's a church that Jesus is still building today. And so we're looking at Pentecost, but what is Pentecost? Now, if you are a Greek scholar or you understand what Pentagon means, it's five. Pentecost means 50. 50. The meaning of this is it's 50 days. 50 days from something. It is not the beginning of a denomination. It is not the beginning of Pentecostals. It is the beginning of the true church of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was so named because Pentecost means 50. 50 days after Passover. In the wilderness, God told Moses to tell the people that there were three feasts that they had to do. Passover, and then they were supposed to number seven Sabbaths after that. And then there was a holiday, 50 days, that was Pentecost, or what is now in the New Testament's Pentecost. It was called something else in the Old Testament. I'll tell you that in a minute, maybe you know. And then after that, there was the Feast of Tabernacles, which we've been studying in the book of John on Wednesday nights. So, it was so named because it was the 50th day after Passover, and it's also called the Feast of Weeks. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. Now, here's an interesting thing. This is a requirement that all the males, all the Jewish males were supposed to come to Jerusalem. So God's got this all set up for the arrival of the Holy Ghost. And Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose. That's Jerusalem. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover. In the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. And in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. See, God's brought everybody to him. And so now they needed to hear the message of God. God's brought you here today. You need to hear the message of God.
Amen.
You need to hear the message of God. See, there's been 50 days since the Passover. 50 days since the crucifixion. And the world did not know what had been happening. Some people did. The apostles did. The people who were following Christ did. But you know something? The religious leaders, that they were suppressing all that information. That never happens. Yeah, it does. It happens all the time. People suppress the truth.
Amen.
And the truth was being suppressed by the religious, by the Pharisees. In fact, they bribed the guards that were watching the tomb. They said, you have this story, and your cover story is the disciples came and stole him out of the tomb. That's why it's empty. Not because he resurrected. So the world in general didn't know. They didn't know at all. But Christ had been on earth for 40 days. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3 it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, the crucifixion, by many infallible proofs. Paul writes that there's 500 witnesses, there's 500 people that saw Christ. But that's a drop in the bucket to the massive amount of people that are there in Jerusalem now for Pentecost. By many infallible, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So now we have Christ is on earth for 40 days. This is the 50th. What happened in between? What happened in between? Christ is now ascended. We see that in Acts chapter 1. Now there's 10 days. He told his disciples, he said, you stay in Jerusalem. God's got the crowd coming because of the Feast of Weeks. God's got his messengers here because he told them to be. He says, you wait. You wait. And it's going to happen. He hadn't given them the Holy Ghost yet. And you wait and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And that's what happens on Pentecost. So they have 10 days to wait. 10 days. You know, do you like waiting? No, sorry. Let's have it now.
Right now.
Let's have it now. Okay? Especially if you're a teenager. I want now. No, sometimes we have to wait because that's the way God's plan is. We don't change God's timing. We don't change God's purpose. We don't change God's plan. And it increases our faith. It increases our faith. But you know something? Last Sunday night we preached on the rich man that was in hell. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And we talked about the rich man. He had another day. What would he have done differently? Today, on this day, things would be different. We see the work of the Holy Ghost on this day. So this morning I want to share three things about the work of the Holy Spirit as we continue the series on the Holy Spirit. The first one is the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion. Verse 41 says, "They that gladly received His word." Who gladly received His word? People who weren't expecting it. People were just going for the Feast of Weeks. People that were just there because they had to be there. There's 3,000 of those who had come to the feast because that's what the Old Testament law said. But you know something? 50 days earlier, there were 3,000 of those that were in the Christ-rejecting crowd. They were there for Passover too. And so we see 3,000 who are going to have their lives changed forever. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done, God will forgive. He cannot forgive unbelief. You know what Christ said on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there's probably some out there hearing this message and speaking in that crowd, and they were there. And they were there. You know, the miracle of Pentecost was really not the apostles speaking. And we know the story about the cloven fire of tongues and the mighty rushing wind in the room. And they go out and they start speaking. The miracle was that everybody heard in their own language. There was more of them than there were of Christ's followers that day. And there were more languages that had to be said than what was available to say. They heard the message in their own language. If you go back in the first part of Acts chapter 2, it talks about all the nationalities and ethnicities that we're hearing here. But to put everything into perspective, in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Cretes and Arabians." These are people that weren't Israelites. They were from all over the world. Some people that were looked down and disdained by the Jews. See, God saves to the uttermost. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God's willing to forgive. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass. Behold, all things become new. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues." In our tongues, the wonderful works of God. See, the miracle of Pentecost, all these people now are hearing the gospel of Christ in their language. The apostles were just being used by God. Folks, that's called witnessing. That's called witnessing. So who gladly received His word? The ones that got saved. What was this word they gladly received? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 24, Peter's preaching. And he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Nothing escapes God. It's all God's plan. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it.
Amen.
If he wasn't resurrected, we'd be in a world of hurt right now. Amen. We wouldn't even be here.
Amen.
See, this was a three-point message.
Yep.
You saw about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Verse 22 shows its conviction. It's conviction. Christ is who he says he is. You need to understand the truth, and the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth.
Amen.
Verse 23 is about the cross. Folks, there's not redemption unless there's the cross.
Amen.
Christ died, the just for the unjust. His blood paid our sin debt.
Amen.
He became sin for us. But that's the first part of redemption. The second part of redemption was that he resurrected after 3 days. And that's the third part of this. The third part of this is that he rose again. It was a message of the resurrection. If there isn't a resurrection, there isn't redemption and there isn't salvation. Christ had to do all that. That's the gospel, folks, right there. Well, I don't know what the gospel is. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to earth. He did things that only God did. He had no sin. People crucified him on the cross in place of a sinner. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead.
Amen.
And if you believe that, you can be saved.
Amen.
He did it for you. And he did it for me. He did it for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
See, all real conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit. All of it. I'll give you two examples. First of all, there's the case of Nicodemus. We studied that in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, Jesus answered. So Nicodemus comes to him at night, and he says, we know they're from God. And Jesus comes right down to his heart. He says, you must be born again. What? What? Huh? So there's this discussion. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of the what? Born of water, that's a physical birth. Born of the Spirit, that's a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Paul was converted on the Damascus Road. Paul, probably the greatest apostle. He went on these missionary journeys and he started churches everywhere. Oh, in Crete. He went to Arabia. He went to some of these places that they had been at. The testimony of Paul to Titus is found in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Paul would know. He was a Pharisee. As far as keeping the law, he was blameless. As far as doing all the things that the Old Testament said, he tried his best to do it. But he says, that wasn't good enough. Folks, you can't get yourself to heaven. Those people that came to the feast thinking that they were doing the right thing, the good thing, yeah, they were obeying God's word, but there's another purpose behind it. It's to see Christ. It's to see Christ. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the what? Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens us from being dead rocks into lively stones. So, who heard it? Those 3,000. What did they hear? The message of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit was there, and they received his word, and they got saved.
Amen.
And they got saved. Secondly, the work of the Holy Spirit in public witness. Christ told his disciples, he says, they're going to bring you before magistrates and kings and all these people and challenge you and question you and condemn you, and don't worry about what you need to answer. I'm going to give you the words to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It says here in verse 41, it says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. They took the next step. And folks, this morning, maybe you've gotten saved, but there's another step. In fact, there's an entire pathway on your way to eternity that you need to walk down.
Amen.
And it's the one that Christ lays out. See, salvation occurs in the heart, but we confess him openly.
Amen.
John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
Amen.
And so the first step of obedience is one of the ordinances of the church, which is baptism. It's not a sacrament. There's so much confusion today.
Yeah.
Baptism doesn't get you saved.
Amen.
It shows that you are.
Amen.
Baptism doesn't wash you away from sin out of your life. The blood of Christ does.
Amen. Amen.
Baptism is a step of obedience. It's identification with Christ. It's a public witness. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now that's being saved into Christ, but then this issue, we just had a baptism last Sunday. And what does it mean? It means that I'm dead to my old self when I go under. I'm alive to walk in newness of life. I have a new direction when I come out. That's the whole point. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even what? Even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Remember last week, living in the past and doing the things of the past will keep you in the past. You have to do something different to go on a new path. You have to try something new. You have to have a new choice. Christ was baptized, and it started a ministry.
Amen.
The disciples were baptized by John, and it started a ministry. It's a start to something. You know, the amazing thing was is that when those people received the word, they didn't worry about what had happened in the previous 50 days. They didn't worry about the animosity that there was against Christ. They basically ignored the hostile environment that was at that time. We have people, and there's testimonies of people, who they receive Christ and then they get baptized and they're excommunicated from their family. They're cut off from society, because now they have shunned the way of thinking in their society and turned to Christ. Folks, that's today. That's today. In Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. I want you to be encouraged. It's not what about you giving up. It's about what you gain. It's about what you gain. It says, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Those 3,000 weren't concerned about what could happen to them. They just knew it was the right thing to do. And sometimes we just have to do the right thing, even though it might be controversial to others. Even though it might get some people upset. We just need to do the right thing. Folks, I want to encourage you today. Do what the Bible says.
Amen.
Believe in who Christ is. Follow him. Identify with him. Confess him. That's what we need to do. See, we need to take the Bible literally.
Amen.
And the other thing is, you're good company when you choose baptism. Jesus got baptized. I can do something that Jesus did. Paul got baptized. I can do something that Paul did. And it started his ministry. These 3,000 did, and look at what happened. The gospel was just going everywhere. And all the people who tried to repress it couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Oh. The Holy Spirit gives public expression of the gospel through us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are guided by the Spirit. We have an unction from the Holy One. We have all this. Paul says, I'm compelled to do this. Folks, Christ said this. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven. It's time to tell people who we are. So we see the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in public witness. Christ says, I'll give you the words to say. I'll help you to understand. Thirdly, the work of the Holy Spirit in Christian growth. In verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly. I just want to dwell on these two words for something, for just a second. Continued means you go beyond where you are. You go beyond where you are. Steadfastly is you don't waver off of it. You just stick the course. You stay the course. But there are too many people today that think salvation is the end in itself. It's just the beginning. It allows you to serve God. It allows you to witness for Him. It allows you to go to heaven. It allows you to do all the things that God wants to do because you're created with a purpose. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which we should walk in. They were not content to just escape hell. And folks, Christianity is more than just a Sunday morning event. It is a change of life.
Amen.
It is a change of direction. It is something that we have to hold on to. They continued steadfastly. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, what are we doing to continue steadfastly? For us and the church, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ. You cannot do that without the Holy Ghost. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Folks, we do these things because we are saved. And the Holy Spirit should be guiding you and saying, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Remember what His three purposes are? Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And we need to understand that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. How does God work in you? Through the Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not some second event. It's something that God gives you. Both to what? To will, to want to do. Your desires need to change. You're not your own. You're bought with Christ. And to do what? What you want to do.
No.
To do His good pleasure. These 3,000 were not content to stay like they were. They were not content. They did not want to go back to where they were. They said, I got a new path. He set my feet on a rock. establish my goings, and I'm going to follow him. They shared in the promise of the Holy Spirit to teach. Last week, we went through John 14 to 16. Christ promises, he says, I'm going away. He says, if I go away, Holy Spirit comes. He says, if I don't go away, it doesn't happen. And then he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. It says in chapter 16, he'll guide you in all truth and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the work of the Holy Spirit in Christian growth, don't be content where you are right now. You can always do more. You can always do more. Understand it's the Holy Spirit that allows you to do that. And then the things that we see in this verse, I'm not going to go through these in depth. It says they continue steadfastly in one. The apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is a set of beliefs. And folks, if you have a set of beliefs, they should change your behavior.
Amen.
We're supposed to be like him. We are predestinated to conform to his image. To them who gladly received, to them he gave them power to become the sons of God. Secondly, in fellowship, it's the bond between believers. You know, we think of fellowship as food.
No.
We think of fellowship as being together. We think of fellowship as just talking about what's going on in our life. That is not fellowship in the Bible, folks. Mm-hmm. Fellowship in the Bible is about fellowship in the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 says, and we have a fellowship of the gospel. If we did not have Christ as our heavenly Father, as our Savior, and God the Father is our Heavenly Father, we could not have fellowship. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also may have what? Fellowship with us. Come out and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye separate. And truly, that means that's the foundation of this. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, your spirit agrees with my spirit that we know that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Our spirits don't agree, we can't have fellowship. That's where the fellowships come from. They didn't want to stay where they were. They continue steadfastly in the doctrine and in fellowship and then in breaking of bread, which is communion. To remember. The Holy Ghost said He's going to bring all things to remembrance. Remember the truth. Folks, we need to remember what our freedom in Christ cost. Just like Elizabeth sang today. Lastly, in prayers. Part that the Holy Spirit prays and prays. Plays and prays. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, sometimes we just don't know what to pray for. Just pray. Just come in His presence and pray. The Holy Spirit will fix it. He says, but the Spirit itself maketh what? Intercession for us. With groanings which cannot be uttered. I guarantee you, you can't pray if you don't start. It's not a prayer if you never start. Oh, by the way, it's not a prayer if the Holy Spirit is not engaged in it. It's not a prayer if you're not righteous, because it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's not prayer unless you're fervent, you really mean something about it. It's not a prayer unless it's aligned with God's will and His Word. That's the Holy Spirit changing our lives. The Holy Spirit leads on to higher ground.
Amen.
The song says, I'm pressing on the what? The upward way. Not the side way. Not backwards. Not downhill. The upward way. The upward way. How how will you respond to His ministry today? Do you need to be saved? The Holy Spirit convicted you of your need for heaven. Don't leave here today without knowing Him as Savior.
Amen.
Do you need Him and your witness? Maybe you don't witness. You need Him. And we all need Him for growth. Folks, let's surrender to the Spirit today. Let's stand. Now, Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all the gifts that You give to us. And Lord, I just ask You of time and invitation. Father, just help our lives to be more like You. Help us, Lord, to decide to follow You as we sang in Sunday school this morning. And Lord, I just ask that we be changed. We ask these things in Jesus' name.